and welcome to Magical Baddies, the realest podcast on all things mystical, magical, and spiritual. I'm Sophia.
I'm Leah.
And we're your hosts.
Today, I'm so excited.
Today's a good one.
I'm just that excited. I had to interrupt.
So today we are talking about ghosts, which Leah pointed out is not something that people inside our industry would call it. But we're just, you know, we're trying to be pedestrian, you know, try something new.
We're everyday people.
We are just like you. We put Stars. Our shoes.
They're just like that. Yeah.
Put our shoes 1 foot at a time. When Leah brought that up, I mentioned that I categorize, or I would even gather to say that ghosts are different than spirits.
Yeah, I want to know what you mean by that, because I don't.
So I think they are. It's kind of like one of those situations where, like, you know, a Cavarsier made in this area is this, but not all things are. So it's kind of like the way
sparkling
I see
wine
it,
if it's not
champagne reaching. Yeah, it's like that. But it's the way I see it is like spirits have a little more autonomy. I think spirits is the overarching grouping, right? But I think some spirits have autonomy. And then you think about things like animal spirits, you think about plant spirit, you think about spirits that have a little more will and direction.
Yeah.
And then I feel that some spirits, again, they have autonomy, so they can like help us, they can talk to us, they can, you know, maneuver things. I've worked with spirits to help me find things in my house. But I think ghosts, the way I categorize ghosts, are the things you think of when you think of like hauntings, ghosts that are kind of stuck in a wheel, or don't have the autonomy or the ability to assist, that are connected to maybe the land or a house or an item. And I feel like it's a very small difference, but that's how I would do it.
That's a big difference. Yeah. Okay. Now I totally understand what you're saying. In Spanish, there's two words for fish, bes and pescado. Bes is like an alive fish that's in the ocean. Pescado is the fish on your plate that you're about to eat. It's not alive. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like ghosts and spirits. Pescado is like the ghost. It's like this once was a living thing that had life and, you know, a whole family and, you know, everything, and now it is just the imprint of that being, and the spirit is still alive. It's out there. The best is like still out there, you know, like it's has a fullness that the ghost doesn't have. So yeah, I definitely see that. I either am dealing with none of this at all, or I'm dealing with ghosts when it comes up. Like I'm having to clear a space or deal with a haunting or something. So I don't really think about this that much. like that distinction. I don't think about it. But yeah, that makes total sense to me.
Well, you guys don't know this, but Leah knows this about me. My whole life is haunted. So yeah. I deal with this all the time.
It's not even to make Sophia sound cute and special and like gifted. It's like legitimate truth. Yeah.
I was just like thinking about like the amount of things I've sent you that are just like bizarre. Like the recording of Esme getting in a truck and somebody whispering into my phone, like they're getting into the truck.
Yeah. I played that for somebody else. I was like, did you hear that? I'm like, yeah, it's like a voice saying they're getting into a truck or something. And I was like, well, there was nobody there. That's a ghost.
That was daytime at a park.
Yeah.
Or like how I was at Home Goods and I was in the aisle ahead and I turned around and I watched a dog bowl just fly off the shelf. And right when that happened, a woman was walking past it and also saw it. And I was like, That dog bowl just fell, just flew off the shelf. And she's like, I saw that too. And we were both like, okay. Also, daytime ghosts.
Yeah.
So I think like this episode is mostly going to be story time, though we do have some pretty good questions.
Yeah.
And one of the common questions we got were like, what are your experiences with ghosts? I like the one that we got. It was like, what is your experience with Caspers and what are your
Okay.
experience with non-Caspers, which are like good or bad ghosts? But Leah and I have a very thin line between good and bad. So when was your first interaction with a ghost? Do you remember?
When I was a kid, so my mom's house, my mom would disagree with this, but that's because I think she's totally at the mercy of the ghosts of her house in her neighborhood. When I was a kid, my house was just creepy. It's always been creepy. It's still creepy to me when I go home. It just feels like there's presence there. And in fact, the last time I went home, which was like a couple of weeks ago, I pulled up like 10 o'clock at night and it's dark outside. I pull up on the curb and I'm just in my car looking at my phone and I see something on the corner of my eye. I walk right past the driver's side of my car and I'm like looking and looking, and then I see it in my rearview mirror go through across my back of the car, and I'm looking and looking, and then I see something and I put my head down, look at my phone again, and I see it go by the passenger side of the car. And I like put my phone down and I was like, not now, leave me alone. Because that's like what I had resorted to my whole life, is like just saying, like, leave me alone in a really like angry way. But I remember being a kid and like very little, like 3, 4. And there was like a corner of our house that had no windows, no vents, nothing. And my mom had like a spider plant there. And I just remember seeing it blowing and knowing that something was blowing it. Like, just, I know that something's blowing it. And I would smell like a smell that I couldn't identify, but only in certain parts of the house. And I later, when I was older, was like, oh my God, we were at a tobacco, an old-fashioned tobacco store. And I was like, that's what I smell in the house. And it was cherry tobacco. So in the house, we have like TVs turn on and off, like just, and it's stuff that like we had a blender that wasn't even plugged in, turn on, stuff like that in my house. So I grew up feeling like creeped out, but not scared. But I never had like I was never like a visual. I'm not it's just not a visual seer. I am more like a just I'm claircognizant, so I just sense of knowing when these things are happening and what it is. And then later, when I went through like training on how to distinguish what's what and what's happening, now I can look back and be like, oh, you know, like I know what I'm dealing with. But those are my earliest experiences, like in my house. And even to this day, like our neighborhood is just, my sister's boyfriend said he saw somebody across the, like a figure across the street that just disappeared in front of him. Like the neighborhood is very shitty. It's just creepy. So yeah, I mean, my family was very much in ghosts aren't real kind of thing. Like, not they're real, but they're not for us, they're not real. They're like real for like old medicine women that like live on the, you know, whatever. So there was really no one to validate my experiences for a very long time.
Do you think, like, because we grew up in the same, a very similar era, the same era, and I feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like when I look back at my childhood, all I remember are like the scary movies. I don't remember big box office, like outside of like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and that was later, but everything was like Amityville Horror, like Chucky was huge. Poltergeist was huge. Do you feel like that kind of also fed into this, like, I don't know, like, especially for people like us who sense things and then we're like scared and we're kids, but like there's mainstream media telling us, like, showing us all of these like creepy ways, like Freddy Krueger. And I don't know, like, do you feel like that affected you too as a kid?
I was technically not allowed to watch most horror films. My mom did not want us watching that. My dad didn't care, but I think like it affected me to the point of making me scared of the unknown and scared that something could take over my body without my permission. But it didn't actually make me scared of ghosts. Like I was scared of the powerlessness, I think. Because even now, like when I do kind of like whatever the work is with ghosts or spirits or whatever you want to call them, entities too, I do it with my eyes closed, usually like in darkness. Like I'm not afraid of them. I had to learn to not be afraid of the powerlessness, and that was definitely an issue with those films for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like when I talk to other people that do our work, and if they're in the same like age group, that seems to
Yeah.
be a thing that comes up a lot, like mainstream media
Yeah.
in the like 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And I feel that, I mean, I have a very different story
Yeah.
starting out, but I do feel that like power of the unknown was terrifying for me. And like, I still to this day won't watch horror films. I don't like
Yeah, I
them.
don't either.
I don't really like the energy they project.
Yeah, same.
And I'm just like not interested, especially since like my whole life's haunted anyways. Like, I don't,
Yeah.
I've seen scarier shit than what they can
Yeah.
show me. And I don't like gore. But
Yeah.
I don't know. I just always thought that was interesting. But when I was a kid, I was like always like drawn to poltergeist. And I think it
Yeah.
was because of what the little girl saw.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I saw so much. But I was like really lucky. Like my grandmother, I remember growing up, like everyone in my family saw ghosts and talked to spirits. And that was like so normal in
Yeah.
our house. Like, even when I was with my dad, like my dad used to work with like a they call it like a foot doctor in
Yeah.
central Vietnam in the mountains. And he told me crazy stories. And he was like, before that, I didn't believe that stuff, but like you see it and you
Yeah.
can't deny it. And it just, you
Yeah.
know, but it's also that like old country thing. Like
Yeah.
the old country is always way more haunted than the
Yeah. Well, I know.
I don't know, but like I feel like more people are like, yeah, this happens so much that they don't
Yeah.
ignore it. It's so
Yeah.
normalized. But my grandmother, I remember her being in the kitchen and like some like lights would flicker or we'd hear banging and she'd be like, all right now. Like she would just like
Yeah.
tell them to stop or whatever. And we lived in this like old, so my grandparents were nomadic farmers. So they would move around and we would, you know, they would just get jobs at whatever dairy farm was available.
Yeah.
And we lived in this one house that was like an old farmhouse, and it was across the street from a church. And I remember there used to be a spirit or ghost or something. I would be in my room playing with Barbies, and it would be like daylight, and it would just move from one wall through the other. And I would
Yeah.
like see it all the time. And
Yeah.
my uncle had a ghost that would appear. And now I don't know if it was a ghost. The more I think about it, I think it was a spirit because it seemed to have autonomy. But it would show up every night before he'd go to bed at the foot of his bed and say like, "Hey Mike, how was your day today?" and talk to him every night.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. So like
Oh, was he afraid
that, no, because he would talk to it.
Wow,
So
that's
like
very
it
cool.
was like so normal. But that was the same house where a guy in the, so I remember it was like David Copperfield or some, or one of those magicians was doing
Yeah.
something. And I don't know why I was in the living room late at night by myself, but I was probably like 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old. And I was watching it, and they were at a train station. And, you know, it's just normal TV program. And then the guy like looks directly at me through the TV and just started speaking directly to me, like says my
Oh,
name
yeah.
and like whatever. And I can't remember what he said to me. I was so young, but I remember that experience, like in that house.
Yeah.
And I remember like the church across the street set on fire, but no one knows how it went.
Yeah,
Went up in
yeah.
flames. So there was like always, but I also grew up in like the South, and
Yeah.
everything is fucking haunted in the
Yeah.
South.
Yeah.
But we also lived in the house that I really grew up in. It was a Civil War hospital.
Oh, hell no.
And
No.
the terror began.
Yeah. That's a horror film right there.
So I was terrified to sleep alone in that house.
Yeah.
I mean, we would, there was like ghost cats, which is cute. We would see
Yeah.
ghost cats all the time. But I remember like sleeping on the couch and hearing somebody walking around the front room or somebody
Yeah.
like tapping on the computer keys,
Yeah.
which was terrifying. Like I still get goosebumps from that.
Yeah.
Definitely had entities like wrap me up in my blanket and like sit on top of me
Oh.
and like couldn't scream, couldn't do anything. I was really terrified of the mirror in my grandmother's
Oh,
bedroom.
mirrors,
I could not do mirrors. And my
yeah.
grandmother also, like she comes from like a Romani background. So it was like, you don't look at mirrors in the dark. Like
Yeah, totally.
you
Yeah.
just don't do that. But I remember that was one of the first times I saw this man with a hat.
Yeah.
And I remember being in the hallway and he was like really tall, like taller than our refrigerator,
Yeah.
really, really tall with a hat. And he didn't say anything, but he was like terrifying to me. And I would see him later. I would see him again right before my grandfather died. But I mean, that house, even we went there after we left. We left that house. It's abandoned now, it's overgrown. And my grandmother asked me to go back to the house as an adult. And I went back with my ex-boyfriend at the time. And this is like broad daylight. It had a wraparound porch they used to hang out on. And there was like this, like, I don't know, some kind of thing that was hanging on the wall. So I asked him to pull it off to bring it back. And so he's like dealing with that. And I'm looking outward and I hear noise. And I'm like, oh, that's cute. It's like a deer like rubbing up against the tree or something. And then I like thought about it and I was like, huh. It rained recently, so there's nothing hard for it to make that
Yeah,
sound.
no crunchy sounds,
There's
yeah.
no, yeah, there's no reason it should like clop, right?
Yeah.
And then as soon as that dawned on me, I was like, also, I don't see a deer anywhere near any trees, even if it
Yeah.
was rubbing up on a tree. And right when I did that, I like looked out and I saw the grass split as if somebody took a footstep and it was like overgrown grass, right? So my
Yeah.
ex comes up beside me and he's like looking, and we both look and we see steps coming down, like somebody taking footsteps
Yeah.
walking towards us.
Yeah.
And then we see some coming from the right, and then we see him right in
Oh
front of us, and
no.
we're like, like, no, thank you, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And so when we see these footsteps, I know immediately, like the horse is a ghost. The soldiers, I just knew they were soldiers. So we walked around. I was like, let's go to the barn. Like I used to save cats
Yeah, that
there.
sounds great. That's where only fun things
Listen.
happen.
It's a big property. So we're walking towards the barn, and I wanted to be like, oh, this is where I used to save cats every summer. And we start to hear the noise, and I turn, and they're walking towards us again. So so I'm like, never mind, we're gonna leave. And then we're walking away, and from the back door, I hear somebody say my name. So I turn and I look, and they're telling me to come in, but I don't feel scared. So I
Right.
went in and I found the side of like an old crib, and I just like brought it with me. But so later, I'm trying to show my grandmother the recording, and there is like a bluish green orb light. And at first we wanted to be like, oh, it's the reflection of whatever, but it like follows us in certain areas, and then it's like got a life of its own. So anyways, that's kind of how I grew up. There's a lot of stuff like that. And I also like grew up with my grandmother telling us like stories from when she was younger about like how my grandfather was chased through the woods by a banshee. Like she heard the screaming, and then like my great grandfather was like just white, and like she was like, you know, that was just normal. And then, you know, 2 days later, somebody died. It's like very normalized in my house.
That's so cool to have somebody like affirm your experiences. 'Cause I think the other part that was like terrifying to me was like I just had to figure out what is make I had to make sense of my experience by myself. Like there was nobody that I could talk to. So yeah, that's amazing to have your grandmother there. It's also crazy what you're talking about, 'cause I'm like, okay, so like I don't know what will happen to the property where that house is, but like imagine all the properties everywhere where like maybe there are stories and experiences tied to those properties, and they just like bulldoze them and build like a condo or build a freaking
Totally.
and like those things don't go away. It doesn't go away, and so that's like why I like with my mom's house, I'm like, this is predates my, because my mom and dad bought that house in 1975, I think, or 72 or something. So, but like it was built in like the 60s. And before that, I don't know what it was, but like these things came from before them. They're the, you know, like the things that are in my house. And, but like nobody cares to find that out. No, nobody, it, I don't know. It just, nobody wants to deal with it, I guess. And we
Well,
definitely deal with it in our culture.
I also think that sometimes people see or have these experiences of like things flickering or things happening as like bad because it's scary, right? But like if we look at it from the position or from the point of view of like the entity that's been there and they're looking through a different lens at us, like aren't we kind of like impeding on their property? You know, like, are we? So it's kind of like, I feel like when I was growing up, like into my teens and my early 20s, I was still very scared of ghosts. Like, I didn't like if something creeped me out, or I didn't like if like something flickered or would speak to me through the radio or do whatever. But there's also like, there's concentrations of energies or entities. And then there's ghosts. And I think that sometimes just the land itself holds these ghosts, these spirits,
Absolutely.
or the house, or the family even. And I think I was really lucky that my grandmother would tell me, like, sometimes it's the house, sometimes it's the land, sometimes it's us. Most of the times it's us. That's what she said. But that's also why like I don't really thrift. I don't really do vintage stuff because there's just too much energy connected to it. And I'm inviting that into my living space. But I think like when you start getting comfortable with the idea of like these beings, like I'm not the only one here, it's not as scary. Like our house is probably I think it was built in like the late 80s or early 90s. And like we have weird stuff happen in our house all the time. And I feel like most people in our positions would be like, I'm going to cleanse this space. I'm going to do whatever. But like I'm also of the mindset like they're not bothering me and we have to coexist and they don't mess with us really. So who cares?
I mean, yeah, as long as they don't mess with you, because I noticed that like in my this apartment I don't have any issues, but in my last apartment, like the boundary of the apartment, like the walls, I work like we're constantly being breached. I look back and I'm like, oh, I was bringing stuff in constantly and I didn't know it. But one of the things that I did experience there was like bouts of depression that I was like, I stopped dealing with once I left that space. And I realized that it was because I was not being like, I was not, I was really like allowing some ghosts or some spirits or some energies to like kind of like take possession of my mental health a little bit, like kind of like not really, but like energetically kind of like lean on me. And I wasn't being conscientious. I wasn't being like diligent in my ability to clear myself, which I do know how to do. And I do make a, especially when I'm like doing that work a lot, I'm very like conscientious about like what is mine, what's not mine, is it for my highest good, that kind of all that stuff. And I wasn't at the time, and I did notice that I was like, oh wow, I like this is not my stuff and I'm holding it. So that's one of the ways that I notice when I'm around things and it's not great for me. But most of the time I'm the same, like where I'm like, meh, if it doesn't bother me, like they're everywhere on this
The whole
planet
planet is
is
haunted.
everywhere. Yes, it, which is like to say then nothing is haunted because this is just existence.
It just
Like
is, yeah.
it's just the way it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. I agree with you about, so I think when you do this work and you have a pretty strong practice, and of course, like our practices are ever evolving, right? And
Yeah.
when you evolve, like the old like boundaries, clearing, whatever it is that you do, sometimes doesn't work anymore. And you have to find a new
Yeah.
way, or you don't even, you
Yeah.
find you don't even have to do it anymore. You don't
Yeah.
need training wheels or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that we beat into everybody's heads like, don't I try not to tell people what to do, you know, be cautious of teachers that do tell you what's wrong, what's right. But I
Yeah.
remember specifically holding like a circle, and this girl was telling me, or woman was telling me that like she speaks to spirits all the time. They walk with her, they come in the house, she talks to them before she goes to bed. Like, and I knew by the way she was speaking that A, she was doing it to like get the attention of the circle, but B, she wasn't solid enough in her practice.
Yeah.
There was no practice, right? And
Yeah.
that's okay. Some people are just like naturally inclined
Right. Yeah.
to spirits. Like when I was a kid, I was naturally inclined. I didn't have a practice.
Yeah.
But I also noticed that she struggled with like depression, she struggled with
Yeah.
anxiety, and
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, hey, you know, in the best way I could, like sometimes you just need downtime. Sometimes
Yeah.
you just need time alone.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, they're always there. So like I like talking to them, and I'm like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just like your friends, right? Like you're hanging out with your friends. If you hang out with your friends too much, you might like take on the personality traits of your friends, or
Yeah.
like go along with them, even though when you
Yeah.
don't, and like you get drained and whatever. So
Yeah.
like sometimes you just need time alone.
Yeah.
But I definitely I see that a lot in practitioners that are starting up, or even
Yeah.
like, you know, in their phase two, phase three, where they are not realizing it's not necessarily the house they're in or the property they're in,
Right.
but it's
Yeah.
what they're inviting in. And a lot of times what you're doing is like you subconsciously have an opening for
Yeah.
it, right? So like one of the things that used to happen to me a lot is like ghosts would come in. Oh, I remember I lived in this one house, and it was creepy because my son was like 3 or 4. He was 4, and he was talking about Michael. And I was like, who's Michael? And he's like, he's the teacher that lives in your house. He doesn't want you to live there anymore.
Oh, okay.
It was a very creepy apartment, but somebody would sit on my bed and like cuddle me. Like,
No means no, ghost.
but I could tell that it was like a pair of sisters that would do it with me.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't know that I was like so creeped out by it. But now looking back, I realized there was a piece of me that was like inviting some kind
Yeah,
of like,
100%.
I want to be hugged. I need this. So even if it's positive and it's creepy, or even if it's like negative, there's like something to learn out of it, right? And so like I've had like, when I lived in Philly, I think one of the scariest interactions I've ever had was when I lived at Philly, and this is when I was working at the Botanica, and I went home for a break, a lunch break, and I was like, I just gotta take a nap. I think it was like noon or 1 o'clock or something like that. And I laid down, and it was almost like time got like really, really slow, like everything was dragging in mud. So I was in between sleep and awake, but I could like viscerally see everything. And this like being got right in my face, like held me down, got right in my face. And it said like something to the effect of like, you think you can get rid of me? You can't get rid of me. And it like pushed me down. Like it was so strong. And it was like very demonic feeling. But again, like I was working at a Botanica, so you get like all sorts of weird shit. Like most of the times, if you're working at a Botanica in the city, you're getting a lot of crazy stuff. There's no one in there trying to like evolve their practice. they're like, I'm going to jail. Give me a candle. So he like pushed me down, and it was so slow. And any other time I've had something like that happen, I would just like, oh my God, please go away. And then like almost sob myself back to sleep and like submit. And this is the first time that I pushed back with all my might. And I said, not now, not ever. And that was like the first time I had ever done that. So that was like, even though it was terrifying for me, it was a huge learning experience. And it was almost like I got the mushroom on Mario. Like I just like zoomed up. So I think that like when we're dealing with ghosts, spirits, entities, any of that kind of thing, we have to, you can't look at one without looking at like your practice as something else. Like, am I inviting these spirits in? Am I inviting, like, if you're quote, got a bad being around you that you're having a hard time shaking, like, where are you at in your practice? And are you able to learn from that? From that. And when I was a kid, my grandmother would always tell me, like, you know, just tell it to stop, like, put up your boundary, tell it no, like, whatever. But as I got older, I realized that, and especially in a lot of like my studying, I realized that these beings cannot move past this kind of department that they're in. They haven't evolved up, right? So they're stuck in this like cycle of chaos or destruction or whatever. This is what they
Behavior.
feed off of. So they feed off of anger, they feed off of fear, they feed off of frustration. So if you offer it a point of view and love, like if you can see its point of view and you're like, hey, this is weird, but it's like, hey, I hear you. I know that you want my attention. I'm sending you love. I'm so sorry I'm not giving you what you want, but I'm really like, if you genuinely offer it that, it's almost like a quicker neutralizer than I have ever worked with. Like, I don't even bother calling in like Archangel Michael anymore most of the time, because that seems to work. I mean, I haven't had to do any of that stuff in a while, but.
I haven't either. That's like, so like the stuff you're saying about like the mental health. So like, this is like why I'm so, I don't like teaching people how, I don't like just like teaching just random people how to do the records anymore, because I cannot tell what a student's mental health is like. And you do, so like what we are doing as practitioners could be considered psychosis in like Western psychology, like talking to ghosts, clearing ghosts, what, you know, what all this stuff that we're doing. in the Western world could be determined that like that's not real what you're doing. You're making up stories. I know that I'm not, but I also have a very firm grasp on what reality is what reality, the Western reality, the etheric reality. Like I have a very firm grasp. And when I start to feel like my grasp is like a little tenuous, I back off from the spirit practice. I don't even want to dabble. If I already feel like a little depressed or a little anxious or a little spirally with my thoughts, not the time to like go into the unknown. But I can't tell that with students. And I've had students come back and say, like, oh, I opened my records and the Akashic records were growling at me. And I'm like, no, no.
Nope.
And but like, so to me, I started to find it irresponsible on my part to even be teaching this stuff. And that's why I like backed off and created the mentorship so that I could have a long relationship with students and work with them if these things come up. But yeah, the compassion thing is huge. And I didn't learn how to have compassion until my records practice in a way that like I intellectually understand what compassion was, but I couldn't. And I've absolutely used it when working with entities and like demonic energies. I don't even like using the word demon or
Me
demonic
either.
anymore, which yeah, like we'll talk about that at another point. But like there's like a, and knowing more about like who my, what my oversoul is, like the soul that I originate from, and like what the, what like work that soul does, and like the work, you know, just like I knowing more who I am on this other level allows me to like flash into this like very big compassion for things that if I didn't have, what I would be like afraid of the way they're coming at me, and that has been huge. It also, but I'm also like, I have been told by many people, and I pretty much think it's true that I am like a natural medium, but that's very cute and like, oh, what a gift. But like, I've been terrified of it, so I don't pursue learning about it or how to work with it. In fact, I've been working very diligently on like shutting that off. Like, you know, like if somebody asked me to, like, can you clear this space, or I have this possession, or not possession, but well, sometimes possession, but like,
Yeah.
and I know how to go in with like a lens of like, I'm doing work, I'm on right now, versus like the people that I know that are mediums are like, you're like visited all the time. Like, I don't want that. I'm too afraid of that. So I've actively worked to turn that off like my whole life. And sometimes stuff seeps through, especially like when my dad died, it was like, he was just around me all the freaking time for the first 4 days after he died. And I actually was talking to, after he died, I went and visited my friend in San Francisco, and her stepmother was visiting. And her stepmother, who's also since passed, was like a seventh generation kahuna from Hawaii and like worked with spirit a lot. And she was like, yeah, we, that in our tradition, like the spirit's there for 4 days after they die and then they leave. And I was like, it was exactly 4 days, like to the minute of his death. And then then it felt like it was gone. But like until those 4 days were up, I was like, I like knew it was him, but it was also terrifying. Like just walking past me all the time out of the corner of my eye. There were certain rooms where I'm like, he's just in there. I would drive to the store and he'd be in my fucking front seat, like just like so strong. And I remember like, I would stay up as long as I could, lights on, TV on, until I would just be so tired I would pass out. But like, I couldn't be in the dark for those 4 days. It was just too much. And also the grief and all that stuff. But like, yeah, that's, yeah,
Well,
that's a lot.
I think like, I mean, I definitely want to talk on the mental health stuff because I think it's almost like somewhat taboo in our practice, right? To like really talk about it. Like we want to respect everybody's shit that they're going through, right? And you know, like I'll always say I have PTSD, I have panic disorder, and one of my biggest fears is going crazy. But also in the tradition, of like my grandmother's spiritual practice, like if you mess with things that you're not supposed to or not ready for, you can like lose your mind. And that's like almost like you can't say that, you know, in our practices anymore. And you also can't be like, well, where are you at mentally? But it is important because like the deeper you do go into this kind of practice, you do have to have a real solid connection with your reality. And I say you're like what you live in and the realities in which you connect to, and you will be constantly like challenged in that. And it is a terrifying thing, but I also want to touch on like what you were saying about death. Like I think like one of the first times we hung out via Zoom or something, I was like, you're a medium. And you're like, no, I don't think so. And I was like, you are. But what we can't like discredit either too is like death as a whole is so much more powerful than we often like really truly understand. So I hate using the word portal. It's so corny, but it really
That's
is a
corny.
portal. And it does ripple affect everything and everyone around it. And so, you know, like I've definitely had one of the things that I used to do as a kid, and it was honestly like the reason why my grandmother sat, I remember she sat me back on the back stairs because I was a mess, because I predicted my friend Marsha's father's death when I was like 10 years old. And I just like, I blamed myself. I was crying. I was so upset. And my grandmother was like, listen, honey, like you didn't kill him. You know, my great grandma Rose had the same thing when her husband died. Before he died, she saw a casket glide through the air and she knew he was dying. And I tend to know when people are dying before they go. And it's terrifying because it's not necessarily right after they go. There's such a big in between stage when that starts and when it ends that starts to like ripple. It's like an avalanche. Like it just like ripple effects and it builds and it builds and builds. And so like you may not believe in ghosts. You may not see them. You might be able to talk yourself out of it, whatever. But if you are near somebody that you care for a lot and there is a death, it is going to affect you on some level that will make you kind of question reality a little bit. And I remember like my grandfather before he died, like we talked about the man in the hat, and I was living in Philly and I was pregnant. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw the man in the hat in the corner of my room. And I like freaked out and I like woke up my son's father. I was like, there's a guy, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, whatever. And he went back to sleep. So I was like, I'm just gonna go back to sleep. And I was like drifting in and out of sleep. And I heard my grandmother has had a very, still does, because I still hear her, a very deep southern drawl. And I heard her say, he's not gonna make it. He's not gonna make it. And I remember like waking up again and then looking at the corner where I saw the man in the hat. And there was like, it was like, do you remember the show Alex Mack on Nickelodeon where she turned into like slime and it was like glitter on the inside? That's kind of what it looked like in the corner of my room. And it started moving towards me and it started to form. And then I just like was like, no, I don't want the, I don't want it. No. So the next day I call my grandmother. I tell her what happened. And she told me later that she knew what was gonna happen. She knew when I called who it was about. But anyways, fast forward, my grandfather had leukemia and it took him in the span of like a week. Like it was like they found it and it was like so quick.
Oh my goodness.
There was like is like the day he went in, he was asking for a hot dog. The day he, right before he died, like he could barely move. It was just so crazy. And I remember I drove down and my grandmother pulled me into another room and she was bawling and she was like, he's not gonna make it. He's not gonna make it. And I remember being like, Like that's what happened. So they put him in hospice. We bring him home. And right before they bring him home, me, my cousin Santana, and that's really my cousin's name, Santana, and my son's father, we go back to the house and we just clean it and get it all ready so they can put his bed in the middle of the living room so he can see out the window. So my grandmother has like one of those like old school 70s clocks, you know, the alarm clock that everybody had. And my grandfather had a grandfather clock. And every hour on the hour from 3 a.m. till 6, no, 2 a.m. till like 4, it was like a weird time. One of those clocks would go off. Now, a grandfather clock will not go off unless you pull on it again, but it kept going off. And so did the alarm clock. And later, my grandmother would say, like, that alarm clock has never been used. Like, we never had that set. So the last time it goes off, they go off together. And I wake up and there's men all around my bed. And I counted 7 men. And my grandmother was like, he had 6 brothers and
Oh my
grandfather.
goodness.
So, like, my point is like this
He was
whole
the last to
time,
die. He was the last of them
the
to die.
last to die. Actually, he was not the last to die. My uncle Leo, they couldn't find him in time. And then after he died, they found him, like the day after he died. So, anyways, so he was still alive, right? He's about to be in hospice, but all of this stuff is happening. It's rippling. He comes home. I have to go back. I know he's going to die that night, but we have to go back. And I walk out of the backyard, and he had a Cocker Spaniel named Rosie. And like, he loved this dog so much. My grandmother was like, Rosie has to stop sleeping in the bed, or you need to get a new bed. And he got a new bed. Like, so she was like depressed, of course, the whole time. I walk out, I let her out, and she starts running and she's like happy. She's jumping, and I look, and there's like a figure of a man walking. So I knew it was my grandfather. Get in the car, and not 10 minutes later, my aunt calls me and she's like, he passed. So that whole time, he's like still alive up to that, you know, that's a whole ripple. That's a whole portal that it's affecting everyone in the house. You know, it's just like, the energy is a lot, right? So I think that like even if you don't deal with that sort of thing, if you're near it, there's no way you can't sense
Oh
that.
yeah, 100%. Before my dad died, I had stayed with him for like a couple weeks before he passed to take care of him. And then the week before, my sister came and we stayed with my stepmother and we were taking care of him. And I had a dream the night before. It was like a beagle came to me, a dog came to me, and they said they're coming for him tomorrow at noon. He died at 12:30 the next day. It's like the there is no, I mean, time is different in in those moments, I think. And like information, like being able, it's like when you're describing like being able to see your friend's father's death, it's like clearly you didn't cause it, but you were given information that was meant, that was going to elapse in our linear time later on, and it came to you before. You know, it's like, to me, that's a time issue. It's not like, I don't know. But yeah, I totally agree with that. Should we get to questions?
Totally.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like we could go on and on about this, but okay. So should we talk about the stuck? We got a few people asking about ghosts being stuck. Should we okay, so here's one of the questions. What are ghosts? Is it true they are souls that are stuck in this lifetime? And then somebody else said, are they souls stuck or souls who choose to dwell here? Can they come and go at will? How would you like to respond to that?
So I think it kind of goes back to my definition, the difference between ghost and spirit, right? And I think spirits have autonomy to come and go as they want. And if they choose to stay in this like closer to us dimension, because that's really what I think it is. It's just a separate, it's kind of like layers of tissue paper, right?
Yeah.
And so like it's just the tissue paper that's right like on top of us.
Yeah.
If they choose to do that, they choose to do that. I think in some of this, it really helps if you're very interested in spirits and ghosts, to read Allan Kardec. It's the spirits book. Yeah. The spirits book. And the one with the like grapes is like the best edition, but it helps you kind of understand sort of from the perspective of spirits, because what he did was like, I think I've talked about this before. He conducted a bunch of spiritualist like exams essentially.
Yeah.
And they asked the same questions of different psychics and mediums around the world, and they kind of put together the ones that the answers were connected or the same. But what they say is like, essentially, when you disconnect from the envelope, it's sort of up to the soul if they want to move forward. And some people have a really hard time registering that it's time to go. And so they do get stuck. And it's because they're so connected to the story or the hurt or the trauma or the drama or the house or whatever. And they're so scared to let go.
Yeah.
And so I do think some ghosts do get stuck. And when I talk about ghosts, I think that that's those beings, the ones that are stuck, that don't want to move on. It's just kind of like, you know, your friend who has been dumped and like just still wants to talk about the ex.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think there's spirits that can come and go as they please.
Totally. Yeah. 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 I would also say like ghosts to me kind of are like, you know, in the old cartoons when they see like somebody like starts to run super fast and like a form of that being stays in place and they run, like there's like an energy imprint, like a signature that remains in that place of where the life took place. And sometimes I would even say that like that imprint doesn't even feel like it has any, it's not, it's like when you see the, somebody asked about ghosts being a hologram, kind of like the hologram of like Princess Leia in Star Wars
like
or
empty.
Something. Like, it looks like it's alive, but it's actually like just doing the same thing over and over again in a way. That's sometimes the case. I mean, it's never, I think answering these questions is a little, I want everyone to like take these questions and our answers with a grain of salt, because we can't answer one question and have it be true for every circumstance that ever existed or for anyone else that's listening, or like, you know, like it just, there are some circumstances when I've seen like energy imprints that look like ghosts. There are some when I think I have seen like autonomous, like spirit poltergeist activity that are making choices, like relational choices with the place where they are and the people that they're around. So I have seen also stuck, although I never really get, I'm never really matched with like the stuck ghosts, the stuck spirits. I've never really, when I've been called to do that work, it's never really been to like help someone cross over. Like that's not, but like other friends of mine, that is the work they do. And that ends up being the calls they get. I'm making it sound like we're Ghostbusters, like the call like to our dispatch. Like,
I mean, I remember like early on you asked me if I like did work like that. And I was like, no, why would I? Like if I don't have to, I'm not going to do it. But it definitely helped spirits cross over. Like we had to do that when we came back from Tulum. There was a little girl attached to us, and she was attached to us because she felt safe.
Yeah.
So her story was really, really sad and whatever. So like I had to call in, you know, archangels and help her cross. But she attached to us because there was a match, because she felt safe with us and she was looking for something. I also want to say like, we also don't know, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way we can possibly know. These are like our own experiences and our own like whatever. Like I don't have the answer for you, like honestly, but I have the answer that's true for me in my own experience. And some of the things that I've seen too, I want to be clear, is like when you walk into a space and it feels like really heavy and you like, or you, I mean, I can do it just by looking on Zillow. And if I'm looking at Zillow, I'll be like, no, we can't
Oh,
buy
I
that house.
know.
Like, absolutely not.
Like looking
But
for a hotel to stay in, like just online,
no.
like hell no to
Hell
that one.
no. But it's not always a ghost. Sometimes it's a concentration of energy and that like it's piled on top of each other and it does not have a personification. So not all quote ghosts are personified.
That's when you're like, we live in a Civil War hospital. I'm like, skip, scroll on by.
Listen, when you're poor, you just are like ghosts are part of life.
You're gonna be living in those haunted places.
We could be haunted outside without electricity, so that is.
Do you know the show Property Brothers?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Okay. I had a dream that I tweeted at them because they sold me a haunted house without telling me before. Like I had been on the show and they were like selling me a haunted house and I was like, these motherfuckers didn't tell me this house was
We've
haunted.
like literally gone
Anyway.
into houses and Steve's like, we should put a bid on this. And I'm like, absolutely not. No, we're not. I do not have the energy for this.
I've never bought a house, but I've done that with hotels where I'm like, yeah, I know I paid for this reservation ahead of time and when we are not staying here.
Yeah. I should have did that with the hotel I stayed at in Hollywood because there is something there for sure. Anyways.
Also, now that I'm thinking about what you're saying, like, okay, no, I don't do the way that I was trained to like clear an energy or whatever you want to call it is to send it to God, the creator, whatever you want to call it. I don't do that part of it. I just do the sending. And so I'm not even doing the sending. I'm really observing and asking like God energy, God create, whatever, whoever you want to call it to come and do that on my behalf or whatever. But like, I don't do like my friend who's a shaman did like all these, things to get them to connect. And I don't do any of that stuff. So the way I do it is different, but Do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I had like a pretty good one. Let me pull it up. Oh, actually, I think we covered these ones. Sorry. Oh, my 11-year-old daughter has never seen a ghost, and neither have I. Oh, my 11-year-old who is afraid of ghosts but has never seen one, and I haven't either. What do you tell them?
Well, in the case of the 11-year-old who's never seen a ghost, and neither of you, that was a lie. Like, of course you
Yeah.
have. Of course you have. You maybe didn't know it, but
1,000%.
so like this is a really good question because and I this is like literally my lifelong struggle of like having to go from like I'm just afraid, don't talk to me, no, nothing, to finally asking like, well, what am I actually afraid of?
Yeah.
And what is the unmet need that this fear is trying to get me to look at? And how can I meet that need? And that eventually is what allowed me to go from being totally afraid and like paralyzed around the stuff to being like, oh yeah, I can come and clear your house. Like, oh, you have a possession right now? Yeah, let's go. But it was me dealing with like, oh, I'm afraid of my own powerlessness here. I'm afraid of my body being taken over and losing control of my body. I'm afraid of, like whatever the things are, but those are the two big ones. And then once I established like that, I started to think about like, do I actually feel powerless? And in my physical life, like, yes, I do have some issues with powerlessness, but like, I know how to put on, like, as a fucking classroom teacher, like, I know how to, like, I'm in control here. Like, even if it's a performance, but I believe the performance, I know how to perform a boundary that is going to protect me when I'm with people. And I do this all the time when I'm training people or like people want to know about how to do this work. Or if I'm even working with people who are asking to for a clearing or whatever, like the big part of it is like getting them to practice how to do boundaries. It's like how dog trainers are like, we're not training the dogs, we're training the humans that work with the dogs.
One
Like
thousand
I've
percent.
had, I usually have like my clients, like, I want you, especially if they're very timid or very meek, like, I want you to look me in the eyes and say no, like as loud as you can. And usually they're like terrified to raise their voice. They're terrified, like, oh, this is so cringy and awkward. I'm like, girl, if you can't do it with me, what, you're not gonna be able to do it with a ghost. You're not gonna be able to do it with someone on the street. Like, the boundary energy is the same, whether it's the physical world or the etheric world. And we got to get really clear on what that feels like for us and how to do it.
I also would bring it down like even to something more simple. I think that a lot of times when we like have the idea of seeing a ghost, we are looking for something physical. But just like in your experience, you didn't see something physical, but you're cognizant of something being there. So I would say if you're both afraid and you've never seen one, you have just not with your eyes. You've sensed something. And also, just because I've had experience with this as a young kid, if she's afraid or they're afraid and they've never seen one, I mean, are you sure they haven't? Like, that's the other thing. Like, you can't deny, and I say this as a mother, you can't deny a fear your child has, right? So,
Like, they're
if
not unfounded. They're not unfounded fears. They're coming
right.
from a place.
But the question is like, how do I explain this to them? And ultimately, I think the best way you can explain it is just like, we're never alone. And that has to do with like, even though like you may be more afraid of the unknown because you don't know what it is, remember there, because we're not alone, there's also some good spirits too. So I think that helps like balance things out so that way there's like a smooth road to go forward, and I think that what you were touching on about boundaries is very important because a lot of people that want to evolve in their practice or like a lot of these people that collect certificates or whatever, I find that like when I would work one-on-one with them, they would be like, well, how do I bring this in my life where I want this? And I'm like, do you ever tell people like how you feel? Do you ever tell people like where you want to go eat? Do you ever like just simple things like that? There's such a big disconnect between like our reality and the other threads in the world or dimensions, and they all intersect. And I think people just really need to realize that. One of the realizations I had today in the shower, because that's where I do my best thinking, is I not that I necessarily am like done with Akashic work, but like I just don't feel I need to go into that realm because I want to practice it in my reality. And I think there has to be more of that happening because I think people use that as escapism sometimes, most of the time. So, anyways, but I digress. Next question. Do you want more?
Should we just do one more?
Yeah.
I love this so much. I could keep going.
Well, we can answer questions, the other questions on our Patreon. So if we didn't get to your question, just join Patreon. We'll always answer them there.
Should we talk about the difference between ghosts and entities?
I feel like we
Or,
covered that.
okay. Smelling ghosts,
Yeah.
sec the sex question, channeling
Yes.
interdimensionals versus ghosts.
Yes, let's do the interdimensionals versus
Okay, so
ghosts.
the question is, how come I can channel interdimensionals but not talk to or see ghosts?
So what I have been told is that it's kind of like an old school radio station. And if you've never used a radio station because you're much younger than us, I guess Google it, but it's turning the knob, right? And so I think that you have your presets. You like 99.5, you like 100.5. You have these presets that you go to, and that's where you're in, and that's where it comes in clear. But we also have the knob that we can use to kind of tune in between, and sometimes it doesn't come in as clear. So it's kind of like that. When you're used to these presets, you're used to these channels, there's almost like a not a spiritual DNA, but a, for lack of a better word, like a spiritual DNA or a connection with these channels. So it's so much easier and so much clearer through your general experience in this lifetime, last, interdimensional, whatever. And then when we try to do the radio thing, like it might just take a little time to like really get those stations in between to be clear. And that's the best way they explained it to me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Also, just so people know, like in my mind, like ghosts, like of human origin that we deal with, like in our all the stories we've been talking about, are like in the dimension that we live in, but maybe not always perceptible by our human with our human senses. But like animals can perceive ghosts all, you know, what all the time and stuff like that. So they are in like our dimension. Interdimensional beings are like, to me, encompass like ETs, angels, quote unquote demons, like, you know, like other beings of non-human origin that are able to move between dimensions of consciousness, dimensions of existence. Just for anyone that like might be confused about those terms. The other thing, and like as you're talking, like so I keep coming back to like and thinking about like everything is energy. So if you're able to channel an interdimensional being, you are an energetic match for that, like the that vibe, that frequency of that entity's energy signature. So I would say like the, again, like this is like essentially like the law of attraction, like manifesting, like you are vibrating on the same like frequency, and so that is what you are able to match with. You've manifested it, to use the big M word, but like yeah, so if I would also say like I don't know, I don't, this person didn't indicate whether they want to be able to connect with ghosts or not. Like if you want to, like I don't know, how would you deal with that if somebody did want to open up that capacity?
I think like the way they explained it as a radio is like so dead on. Like you just gotta fine tune it. You know, you're rolling through. You wanna check it out, you fine tune it. So a lot of the times, like what I find with a lot of people that are strong channelers, they're almost like completely disconnected to our spirit in our reality. And the reality is there's so much spirit and energy in our reality. So you just might need to fine tune how you connect. But again, like the way you were saying it, like being like a energetic match or like how they say it, like as a preset, it's just so easy. So it, like it comes so natural to you. And maybe that's just kind of like what you really want to focus on in this lifetime, or many to come. But if that's something that's like interesting, I would say fine tune it. Like you just gotta practice.
I when I'm in my training, one of the things that I was like taught very early on is like how to perceive something, like, or how to recognize how you personally perceive something. So like it's not universal how everybody will perceive something. And then using my gut, my intuition, whatever, to like immediately ask, like, is this of human or non-human origin? And so like from there I can like start to, it's like I for some reason that question opens up like a pathway to understanding whatever it is I'm dealing with even more. So if I'm like, oh, it's human, then it's like that, it's like 21 questions. It's like that leads to the next question, to the next question, to the next question. And I was actually going to say that about really quickly about the smelling of ghosts, like the like I can smell ghosts, so not necessarily spirits, but like the energy imprints that are stuck in a place, or like I can smell it. But as soon as I can smell that initial smell, then I can start to break down through other smells. This is so, I can't
We've
believe
had
this, like
this conversation like early
yeah
on, like in one of our lives. We both, maple
yeah
syrup was the
yeah
big
yeah
one.
yeah yeah Yeah, maple syrup, Band-Aids, but like I remember being in a house. There's like a place in San Diego that's like it's Old Town. It's like the original, like, you know, county seat of San Diego, later moved to where downtown is now. But there's a bunch of like adobe houses, and there's one Victorian house there. Everyone's goes to the Victorian house, the Whaley house. That's like the haunted house there. But people be sleeping on Casa de Estudio, which to me is like my hair just stands on end when I go on in there. And I can smell the different people that lived in the different rooms there. Like I can smell, there's like a literally a smell of like frankincense when I go into like the chapel room there.
Ooh,
There's
that's
a
my favorite.
I know, I do love an old church smell. There's like a smell of like a floral, like flowers when I go into like the little girl's room there. Like, so like I can un like, I don't know. To me, it's like, okay, great. What I still go back to the question of like, but why do I need this information? Like, what's the point? So like, it's just a pathway to information at that point. I'm not here to clear anything. This is not my business. I'm a visitor. It's like, I'm just here observing, you know, when I go into places like that, but I can definitely like trace it through that kind of, it's information. It's information. But like those questions open up those pathways for me.
I agree. I think that, like, again, when we deal with ghosts, like, people have this like idea of like seeing an imprint, but like you can use so much more. Like, we talked about this on one of our earlier lives, and we both agreed maple syrup was the big one. And I struggle still. I can't eat anything that smells like maple syrup, except for unless it's on like French toast. But I also
Cigarette
get
smoke too.
cigarette smoke is the big one. And then the other one for me is like really strong old lady perfume. Like, I'm talking like if like White Diamonds was made in 1920s, like that strong
Oh, I love
smelling.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, but like I can
Right.
smell that. But I do want to point out that like just because you interact with these spirits or these ghosts, it's the same as like if you have a partner and they're dealing with shit, it's not always your job to fix it. And so like just because you're in a space and it's got that or whatever, there has to be a difference between like it's I have to fix it because like I'm aware of it, or like that's y'all's business, like I'm just breezing through. And I think that that's really, really important to know that. Because like you were saying
100%.
earlier, like how much I like interact with them, but like it's not like I don't really interact with them. They just happen around me, but that's not my business. What y'all do, I don't know your life.
I don't know your life exactly. I yeah, exactly. That's like how I've lived my life. Like
Yeah,
I don't
I don't. My son sent me the meme or the video of like the guy who's delivering pizza, and then like he sees like a cop car come, and the guy gets out of the cop car and starts running, and he runs out and trips him. And I wrote back and I was like, that wasn't his business. Like I would have been like, give me my pizza. What are you doing? So like I don't know. Like, even though I perceive a lot of stuff in my reality, it doesn't necessarily mean I interact with it all.
Totally. If we would be endlessly,
Exhausted.
exhaustingly working if we did that.
And I've met some practitioners and people where you meet them and you're like, bitch, you're tired. You need a nap. Like you're fried. Fried is the big one I see in people that are just
And that's
completely
on
fried.
ego. Like, why do you think you need to keep working? Like, come on. Who are you trying
No.
to prove this to?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I dream a lot about haunted spaces too. I dream a lot about spirits being stuck in places and having to clear stuff. And one of the ways I even like detect that stuff is smelling in my dreams too,
Yeah.
which is really interesting. This has been so fun. I can't wait to do
Yeah.
the follow-up to this in our Patreon because this is just so fun for me. I love having these conversations.
I do too. And I really like these more like pedestrian topics we've been talking, because it's like it's fun, you know, to go back to it. But yeah, if you sent in a question and you want to know the answer and we didn't answer it, though, I feel like we answered a lot of them through our storytelling. Patreon is always a great way to connect with us. We'll answer residual questions. After I come back from maternity leave, we will set up our first live hangout and y'all can just come out the mouth, like whatever it is you want to ask us. So you can connect to that by going straight to my Instagram at Divine Void Sophia, and I have the link right there, $5 per month. And yeah, you
This
can book
is,
Leah.
yeah, you can book me crystalsofaltamira.com.
Bang, 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 bang. She has great classes, and she is one of the very few people I actually go to for, you're like my Akashic Gossip doctor.
Oh, thank you.
It's really funny because some people are like, oh, I don't get readings from this person because we're too close. And I'm like, oh, I want to be with that person.
Yeah, I don't go by closeness. I usually go by intuition, like even if we're close, if it's also, this is going to be our last episode before the break. Yeah, we don't have any more recording, so this is exciting. A lot of stuff is going to happen in between now and our next episode, and I'm excited to see where we will be as human beings when we come back. It's going to be a wild ride, I think, these next couple months.
I will have only one heartbeat when we come
Yeah,
back.
exactly. But you'll have three children.
I will have three children. All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. Like, subscribe, join Patreon, book Leah, and we will see you soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.